జననీం శారదాం దేవీం రామకృష్ణం జగద్గురుం పాదపద్మే తయో శ్రిత్వా ప్రణమామి మూర్ముహుః. ఓం వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దోగ్ధా గోపాలనందనః పార్థో వత్సః సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. As part of the manifestation of three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, Bhagavan Krishna had introduced seven subjects, beginning with karma sannyasa. Now we are in the seventh one. Three types of happiness. How three types? Happiness is one, but depending upon how it is manifested because of the coverings of sattva, rajas and tamas. Three types of people, sattvika, rajasika, tamasika, three types of activities, actions, three types of understanding, three types of willpower, three types of attitude as a doer, all these things influence, but the end result will be, and that is the judgmental value, sukha or dukha, happiness or unhappiness. And that is why the seventh topic is sukha. All of us, without exception, are only running after happiness, and avoidance of suffering is part of this quest for perfect happiness. So, three types of happiness. Why three types? Because three gunas. Same happiness as filtered through sattva or rajas or tamas manifest as three types of happiness. That is what in our last class we have started. Now, in the 37th verse, sattvika sukham, that happiness which a sattvika person endowed with sattvika intelligence and obtaining sattvika jnanam, desiring sattvika happiness in result, performs the actions in a sattvika way, and naturally he will also enjoy sattvika sukham. So the same technique we have to apply to the rajasika person as well as a tamasika person. We have discussed. So there are two marvelous truths about sattvika sukha, which a sattvika person with a sattvika intelligence, sattvika knowledge, sattvika action and sattvika attitude, he obtains as the end result. Whenever this sattvika mind comes across any object, and we all run after objects only thinking that it will give us happiness. That is the normal attitude. But a sattvika person stands and questions, is this object only going to give me happiness, or is it also going to make me a person who is of happiness? Is it going to make me spiritual? Is it going to reveal my true nature to me? And that is what distinguishes a sattvika person. He is purely a spiritual person with a purely spiritual goal, and he wants to do things which will only make him progress in spiritual life and ultimately he will become Brahman. What is the problem? Even a sattvika person, having a body, having a mind, living in this world, has to come across various objects. But he has the intelligence, a discriminative intelligence, to choose things. And what does it involve? That he chooses objects or particular type of actions which appear to be at the beginning, number one, vishamiva, like poison. That means they only involve suffering, tiredness, expenditure of energy, etc. But he knows, he could see in the future that it is as if poison, but this is nothing but the true way to immortality. Nectar, pariname, amrutopama. And if I can pursue contacting these objects with this particular attitude, choosing them not because they yield immediate happiness, but long-lasting happiness, that means leading me to my true nature, and to be established, help me to establish in my own true nature. This is called Atma Buddhi Prasadajam. And this type of interaction with the objects through his senses, first it appears as if it is terrible nectar, means involving lot of difficulties, lot of striving, lot of hardship, lot of tapasya, lot of everything. But if he pursues, after some point of progress, he starts, as I gave the illustration in my last class, like a person traveling in a long tunnel and the vehicle is approaching at the end to the other end of the tunnel, and slowly very dim light penetrates. Like that, small happiness, but this is not the small happiness like a tamasika person enjoys or a rajasika person enjoys. This is pure spiritual ananda, but in a small quantity because of his receiving capacity. So, pariname amrutopama. And what is the end of the tunnel? He will realize that I don't want to possess happiness, I want to become happiness. In popular saying, I don't want to eat sugar, I want to become sugar. Atma Buddhi Prasadajam. So this is what he'll bring. The spiritual joy appears to be poison in the beginning. Poison means painful in the beginning because it involves discipline. Any discipline, its nature is, we don't want to be disciplined. But once we make a habit of that, habit makes things extremely easy, automatic, without thinking. Whatever our body, mind does, that is called habit. Habit is formed of discipline. Discipline at the beginning is painful, but this sattvika sampanna purusha, the person endowed with sattvaguna, chooses this particularly so that he can progress in spiritual life. Yat tat sukham agre purvam prathama samnipate. As soon as his sense organs come into contact, that very first moment, it involves. But what does it do in the beginning? Jnana, vairagya, dhyana, samadhi, arambhe, atyanta ayasa purvakatvat, vishamiva, dukhatmakam bhavati, parinamena, vairagyadi paripakajam sukham. Most marvelous explanation given by Shankaracharya as his commentary on this particular verse. So what does it do in the beginning? Arambhe, jnana, vairagya, dhyana, samadhi. First, right knowledge, then dispassion, then deepening of the meditation, and afterwards culminates, beginning with samadhi, culminating in samadhi, అత్యంత ఆయాసపూర్వక. ఆల్ దీస్ ఇన్వాల్వ్ ట్రెమండస్ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ స్ట్రెయిన్ టు బిగిన్ విత్, అండ్ దాట్ స్ట్రెయిన్ విషమివ అజ్ ఇఫ్, బట్ రియల్లీ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ పాయిజన్, రియల్లీ ఇట్ ఈస్ నెక్టర్. దుఃఖాత్మకం భవతి, ఇట్ బికమ్స్ హార్డ్షిప్, తపస్య, ఆస్టెరిటీ, బట్ పరిణామేన ఇన్ ది ఎండ్ వైరాగ్యాది పరిపాకజం సుఖం. ది హైయెస్ట్ హ్యాపీనెస్ కమ్స్ ఓన్లీ ఫ్రమ్ డిస్పాషన్. మెనీ పీపుల్ మిస్అండర్స్టాండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ డిస్పాషన్. ది సింప్లెస్ట్ బెస్ట్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ డిస్పాషన్ ఈస్ కంప్లీట్ ఇండిపెండెన్స్. హౌ టు బి ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ డిపెండెన్స్. దెర్ ఈస్ ఎ ట్రెమండస్ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ జాయ్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఫ్రీడమ్, వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎ ఫారిన్ గవర్నమెంట్, ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ స్లేవరీ టు సర్టెన్ హ్యాబిట్స్ టు డ్రగ్స్, ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ డిపెండెన్స్ అపాన్ అదర్ పీపుల్, అండ్ వీఆర్ ఆల్ బౌండ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ డిపెండెన్స్ అపాన్ అదర్ పీపుల్స్ ఒపీనియన్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ సెల్ఫ్స్ ఇస్ ది మోస్ట్ హొరెండస్ డిపెండెన్స్. వీఆర్ ఆల్వేస్ స్ట్రైవింగ్ ఫర్ గెటింగ్ అవర్ సెల్ఫ్స్, నాట్ గివింగ్ ఫ్రీడమ్ టు అవర్ ఇన్నర్ సెల్ఫ్, దట్ వాట్ డూ ది అదర్స్ థింక్ అబౌట్ మీ, అండ్ వాట్ డూ ది అదర్స్ థింక్ అబౌట్ మీ, దే సీ మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్ మై బాడీ, అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్వర్డ్స్ ఎ ఫ్యూ పీపుల్ మే సీ మై టాలెంట్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ మై నాలెడ్జ్. ఐఎమ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ సైంటిస్ట్, గ్రేట్ మ్యూజిషియన్, గ్రేట్ ఆర్టిస్ట్, అండ్ వెరీ ప్లెజెంట్ పర్సన్, బట్ ఆల్ దీస్ కమ్ లేటర్ ఆన్. ఫస్ట్ మోస్ట్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ మర్జ్డ్ ఇన్ ది వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ. దేహో దేవాలయో ప్రోక్తః, దెర్ ఇస్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్స్ దట్ దిస్ బాడీ ఇస్ ది గ్రాండెస్ట్ టెంపుల్ ఇన్ ది వరల్డ్ హౌసింగ్ ది డివైన్ లార్డ్, బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ టేకెన్ బై ది వరల్డ్లీ పీపుల్ ఇన్ దట్ సెన్స్. దిస్ ఫర్గెటింగ్ అబౌట్ ది డివినిటీ విద్ ఇన్ ది హోల్ అటెన్షన్ ఈస్ ఫోకస్డ్ అపాన్ హౌ టు కీప్ ది వాల్స్ ది రూఫ్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఆఫ్ ది టెంపుల్ ఇన్ ది మోస్ట్ అడోరబుల్ అడ్మైరబుల్ వే, అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ ది షూరెస్ట్ వే టు రియల్ పాయిజన్. యాక్చువల్లీ దెర్ ఈస్ నో రియల్ పాయిజన్, బట్ ఫర్ కంపారిజన్ వీఆర్ యూజింగ్ ఇట్. సో పరిణామే అమృతోపమం. దిస్ పర్సన్ ఇఫ్ హీ గోస్ త్రూ విత్ ట్రెమండస్ సాత్విక ధృతి అండ్ సాత్విక ఉత్సాహ, ధృత్యుత్సాహ సమన్విత కర్త సాత్విక ఉచ్యతే, ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ ఎండౌడ్ ట్రెమండస్ ఇన్వైలబుల్ అన్బ్రేకబుల్ పవర్ ఆఫ్ విల్, అంటిల్ ఐ అచీవ్ ఇట్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు గివ్ ఇట్ అప్. అండ్ మెనీ పీపుల్ మే డూ ఇట్ స్టబ్బర్లీ లైక్ ఏ బుల్ ఇన్ ఏ చైనా షాప్ ఎస్ దే సే, బట్ ఉత్సాహ సమన్విత, ఉత్సాహ మీన్స్ జాయ్ ఈస్ బబ్లింగ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దట్ పర్సన్ బికాస్ హీఈస్ ఎక్స్పెక్టింగ్. దట్స్ ఇన్ సినిమాస్ ఆల్సో దెర్ ఈస్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్. ఏ హీరో అండర్ గోస్ ఎనీ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ట్రెమండస్ ఆర్డియల్స్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు గెట్ హీస్ బిలవ్డ్ టు హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. సో హీ ఈస్ ఈవెన్ రెడీ టు గివ్ అప్ ది లైఫ్. వీ కెన్ టేక్ దట్ ఎనాలజీ టు యూజ్ హియర్ ఈజ్ ఎ పర్సన్, అండ్ ఇన్ సూఫీ లిటరేచర్ దిస్ ఈస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ ఎక్స్ప్రెస్డ్ దట్ ది మ్యాన్ ఈస్ ది లవర్, గాడ్ ఈస్ ది బిలవ్డ్, అండ్ ఆఫెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కంపేర్డ్ టు బి లైక్ ది రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ మ్యాన్ అండ్ ఉమన్. దట్స్ వై దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ వండర్ఫుల్ సూఫీ పోయమ్స్, అండ్ దెర్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో ఎ పర్టికులర్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ భజన్స్ సింగింగ్ కాల్డ్ గజల్స్, అండ్ దే ఆర్ నథింగ్ బట్ స్టార్టెడ్ విత్ ఓన్లీ ది రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ది లవర్ అండ్ ది బిలవ్డ్ విచ్ ఈస్ నథింగ్ బట్ ది స్పిరిచువల్ ఆస్పైరెంట్ అండ్ ది డివైన్ లార్డ్. ది ఇంటరాక్షన్ బిట్వీన్ దెమ్ ఈ దట్ ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ లవ్. సో దిస్ ఈస్ వాట్ వీ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ పరిణామే ఎట్ ది ఎండ్ విత్ ట్రెమండస్ జాయ్ బికాస్ హీ నోస్ ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు గెట్ మై బిలవ్డ్, ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు బికమ్ వన్ విత్ మై బిలవ్డ్, అండ్ ట్రెమండస్ రిజల్యూషన్. బట్ దిస్ జాయ్ దిస్ రిజల్యూషన్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ సాత్విక జ్ఞానం. దట్ జ్ఞానం ఈజ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ ఎఫిమిరల్, వీ విల్ టాక్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ వెరీ సూన్, ఎక్సెప్టింగ్ జాయినింగ్ ది బిలవ్డ్, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ముక్తి. Everybody longs mukti. Every atom, according to Swami Vivekananda, is trying to fly away to become free from its bondage to other atoms. So, if somebody persists, tataha what happens? Atma buddhi prasadayam. This striving, however painful it may appear at the beginning, at the end, it gives the tremendous prasadam called atma buddhi. Buddhi means jnanam, atma jnanam, self-knowledge. First, it will equip the person with all the fourfold qualifications necessary to pursue this hardship of the spiritual practice. And as the person goes, I mentioned it earlier, not that the happiness comes at the very end. Even this analogy, a mountaineer, he is climbing a mountain, especially like trying to reach Himalayan, Everest peak, is not a very easy thing. But the man, the nearer he approaches, his hopes soar, and he would like very soon to reach there. After all, what does he get? The whole world will, he had reached, he had climbed this Mount Everest. But the fact is, this man loves mountaineering, and it gives so much joy. The nearer he is approaching the goal, the greater will be his joy. Or, in the cinema analogy, the nearer he is coming to conquering the evil, the obstacle, which is called villain often, the more joyous he becomes, and when he becomes united with the beloved. That is the analogy we have to take. And then they become united completely. One, the Atman merges itself into Paramatman. This is the main meaning of the Mahavakya. This is the nature of Sattvika Sukham. What is Sattvika Sukham? It starts both qualitatively and quantitatively as the greatest happiness no object can give, because the person, even while seeing the outer crust, outer form of the sense object, he is really seeing the beloved, the Atman, manifesting in the form of Sat, Chit and Ananda. So, even in that analogy, he is getting not ordinary happiness, but spiritual happiness. And ultimately, he is not getting happiness, he becomes happiness. The difference is, whatever we get, it becomes lost. But the analogy here is, once we become happiness, there is no power on earth which can separate us from that. And that highest ananda can never be described, excepting only those who experience, they know what it is. Now, we move on to the second degraded version of Sukha, Rajasika Sukha. Now, what is this? Vishayendriya Sanyoga, Yattad Agre Amruta Upamam, Pariname Vishamiva, Tat Sukham Rajasam Smrutam. That happiness which arises from the contact of the senses with their objects, and which is like nectar at first, but turns into poison in the end, that happiness is said to be of the nature of rajas. Let me rephrase it. That happiness, upon the first contact with the sense objects, senses and the sense objects, when they come into contact with each other, at the beginning, it looks like nectar, just the opposite description of sattvika sukha, but in the end, it turns out into pariname vishamiva. It becomes pure poison. Here, poison means we have to clearly keep certain facts in mind. According to Vedanta, that every soul is divine. Temporarily, he is bound. He or she is bound. But in the long run, everybody will become free. So, agre prathamakshane amrutopamam, amrutasamam. It becomes like nectar when the sense organs come into contact. Why? Certain things also will not produce happiness at the very beginning, that we are going to come, because this person is endowed with some amount of sattva guna, but more of rajoguna, and therefore he has some amount of discrimination And therefore, he knows how to carefully choose what is his need and what is going to be suitable for his needs so that he can enjoy. And this is what we do unthinkingly all the time. So, Vishaya Indriya Sanyoga. Sanyoga means when they come together, the unity, union of Vishaya means sense objects with Indriya, the sense organs, there arises a result called Sukha. And that Agre, at the beginning of this union, Amrutopamam, looks so wonderful. When it is terribly hot, and then you are walking, working in sunlight, and you are sweating, it is terribly hot, and you enter into ice cream parlor, and then they supply you with banana, some name is there, I forgot, banana ice cream, and then banana split. And then, if the first moment you put it, first few mouthfuls, it is as if heavenly happiness has descended upon you. But, Pariname, it's later on, what happens? This man develops attachment. This is giving me pleasure. Let me enjoy it again and again. Pariname, at the end, what happens? Vishamiva. That becomes like a poison. And this kind of happiness, which appears to give tremendous amount of pleasure and joy at the beginning, but turn out to be terribly poisonous, that is called Rajasika, Tat Sukham, Rajasam Smritam. Rajasam Sukham Smritam. It is considered by wise people as the Rajasika happiness. Now, what is the meaning of Visham here? We have to understand. Any sense organ, any sense object. So, there is a limit. How much sweet do you want to eat? First ice cream, first cup, fine. Second cup, a little less, fine. Third, a little still less. But if you force fourth and fifth, that very thing which can give the greatest pleasure to another person at the very first sip, that third cup or fourth cup or fifth cup or whatever, it turns out to be abhorrence once this point of satiation takes place. After that, you feel like vomiting. That is one. Second is, the same thing, if it is kept for a few days, however nice it is, immediately decomposition starts. That is another meaning of it. Third, depending upon the circumstances. So, whatever is there. Suppose, yeah, this is my favorite example. Suppose somebody, you are very hungry, you are very fond of ice cream, somebody has gives you this ice cream, and then you are thoroughly trying to enjoy it, still there is quite a lot, you are looking, anticipating the future happiness. Suddenly somebody comes and tells, do you know that who gave you this one? Your enemy had sent it for you. The fellow who is tormenting you, who insults you at every opportunity, he has sent it to you. The moment that knowledge comes, the ice cream is looked through the filter of that reaction which you had whenever this person's name is mentioned, turns the whole thing, the remaining ice cream, into terrible poison. Not only that, whatever you have eaten, it brings out all that your, what is called, your Purvajanma eaten ice cream also. You, if it is possible, you want to throw it out. So many factors are there which are negative factors. But that is not the only thing. Our body, our sense organs. So what happens? Jarayanti tejaha. They lose their power of enjoyment as we go on aging. What pleasure we get when we are young and growing up, and what we pleasure we get at, let's especially middle age, and afterwards, gradually, the both the quantum and quality, the intensity of the pleasure is going to come down, and a time will come when this very thing, in comparison with our health, it may look terribly poisonous. Yes, we all come to that. Why? Because Kalena Parinamati. Everything is subject to time. The sense object is subject to time. The senses also are subject to time. Our body is subject to time. Our mind is also subject to time. Because of these various reasons, everything that appears to be a nectar at the beginning will turn out to be absolute poison at the very end. And taking the help of Shankaracharya, agre prathamakshane, first moment, when the sense and sense object, desirable sense object, remember, whenever we are talking, not any sense object, not only that, not any sense, if you want to enjoy some nice food, the eye has only to help the tongue, the ears also, the nose also, and as well as the skin also. Their purpose is to help only to judge what is the best for that particular sense organ called the tongue. Prathamakshane, first moment, amrutopamam, amrutasamam, equivalent to nectar, samyogat bhogaha. But Krishna says, every contact is subject to change. Vishayendriya sanyoga. So, this is what is said earlier also. Sitoshna sukadukheshu. Whether it is cold or heat, everything is subject to time. Time is the greatest master. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita we have seen in the 11th chapter, Arjuna could not recognize the form of Sri Krishna in the manifestation of, as the manifestation of time. He says, who are you? I can't recognize you. He says, because we ignore the past, we ignore the future, we only momentary. The present is extremely momentary. Imagine two rockets flying by each other in the opposite directions at thousands of miles per second. What would be the time when they are in the same position in space? Very little time. And that is called the time effect. Time is very limiting. Space is very limiting. Cause is very limiting. All these things, anything, contact, born, pleasure, is very, very temporary, momentary. That's why it is called kshanika sukha. As soon as the contact is broken, and then this happiness goes away. So, when it goes away, problems come. What is the problem? A terrible vacuum is generated. What is it? Depression, sorrow, I have been deprived of this. Then, the second one. What happens? What is the second thing that says that this creates tremendous amount of samskara, kind of impression, which propels every creature again and again. So it is said, as some time back I mentioned, scientists trained some young male rats to stimulate themselves with pleasure, the pleasure places in their brain, with electrodes, implanted electrodes, and they have put young female rats and very delicious food liked, preferred by the rats. And within a few days, all the young male rats died because they went on stimulating again and again. The more they stimulate, the more the samskara becomes strong, and we are no different from it. That is why says the samskara, even though we know something is going to be poisonous in the end, and yet again and again, we do not awake to the idea of this thing. What a marvelous thing Bhagavan is telling to us. Therefore, Krishna says that pariname, the consequence for all the every single sensual pleasure we have ever enjoyed or anybody enjoyed, what happens? It turns into poison because it creates bondage. Here, Visha, we have to understand that which keeps us away from realizing our own true nature and keeps us going round and round and round, again being born and again being dying, or sixfold changes. Asti, jayate, vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. This is the lot. This is the fortune of fate of every single thing, including non-living things in this world. And Shankaracharya comes to our aid. What is this visha? What is this poison? He says, bala, virya, rupa, prajna, medha, dhana, utsaha, hani hetutva. Seven things will be lost. The loss of seven marvelous qualities that a person has will be lost, and that losing of these seven marvelous qualities is called poison. What are they? Bala is strength. So what does it do? Then virya, that means the tremendous valor. Rupa, beauty. Prajna, intelligence. Medha, that knowledge which one gets. Dhana, money. Utsaha, and that enthusiasm. And all these are connected with the enjoyment of rajasika enjoyment. So this kind of rajasika person's enjoyment is coming into contact with sense objects which appear to be most desirable, nectarian. As a person feels that he has gone to heaven and that heavenly experience will never come to an end. But what does it do? Destroys the very capacity of the person to enjoy. How does it cause? It causes this kind of enjoyment of senses with the sense objects, with the kind of knowledge a rajasika person had, because rajoguna overpowers him. What does it do? It destroys one's strength, beauty, knowledge, wisdom, wealth, enthusiasm, understanding, everything. It leads to loss of all these things. Because a person engaged in sensual pursuits, he will not find any time. He will not have any opportunity. Even though opportunity is there, he will deprive himself voluntarily taking of that opportunity about anything. Not only, not to speak of spiritual life, even in this world, there are most marvelous things are there. Very noble things are there. There are so many great people, great statesmen, great musicians, great poets, great writers, great politicians, and great in every field. You name it, there are great people. Olympic gold medalists are there. And instead of what is called wallowing in these dirty things, as Plato had beautifully remarked, an unthinking life is like a pig wallowing in sewage water and thinking that I am very happy. Pig is quite happy, but everybody knows what is its condition. So a rajasika person's happiness is compared to this piggish type of happiness. This is rajasika sukham. It appears like nectar in the beginning, but it turns into poisonous in the same destruction of one's life itself. But as I said, this is not going to last long. But this is rajasika sukham, is very desirable in the beginning, but turns out to be extremely tortuous, painful in the end. What about a person who is overpowered with tamoguna? It's a beautiful psychological descriptions. What I really enjoy this Gita shloka says, Bhagavan Krishna is not only pointing out the highest spiritual truths, but he is delving deep into the very structure of our psychology, the knowledge about our mind. Not only the mind which we have now in this particular present age, but that which is coming from innumerable, unrememberable, how many lives God alone knows. All that is shaping, molding our mindset. And because of that, our karma will come. And this is also further beautifully enlarged in the descriptions that come later on, as soon as this description is over. So now we are entering with that kind of person. So he is completely overpowered with tamoguna, and therefore his intelligence is not much, therefore his knowledge is not much, therefore his desire is not much, and therefore his action is not much, therefore his attitude is not much, and therefore the end result that he gets, his willpower is also overpowered, and his utsaha is also dhriti and utsaha, enthusiasm is overpowered, and then ultimately he neither enjoys at the present beginning nor enjoys in the end. Whole life is the most miserable life. Now, I gave earlier Plato's comparison of an unthinking person to a pig, but it is an unfair comparison. Why? Because a pig is an animal and it has got pig's intelligence, and so it has no choice, as it were. But here is a human being being born as a human being. The person has a tremendous amount of what we call that, what is called choice. But this person, he cannot take that choice, choose that choice. Why? Because for many lives, he has been following a particular lifestyle, gradually dimming his personality, his intelligence, his knowledge, his desire, his way of action, and his willpower, and his enthusiasm. Naturally, he will have to reap the consequence of his actions. Karma phala must come. Ultimately, this is most important point to remember. Everything, all the other six descriptions end in only one thing. What is it? Karma. And when we do this karma, karma phala is inevitable, and sukha and dukkha are the karma phalas. That is the most important point. That's why they are called judgmental values. It is towards this value everybody strives. Even a tamasic person, if you ask him, what do you want? I want the greatest happiness, Brahmananda only. But he has prepared his instrument in such a way, shaped it in such a way, with meticulous struggle, that he can get only the least amount of type of happiness. Not that he doesn't have happiness. Definitely there is tremendous amount of happiness. And most of us fall into this category. What is the point? Before I forget, I will have to tell you. Most of us are fanatics. And what we understand, we think that this is the highest understanding, this is the rightest understanding, this is the truth, and we know what we are talking. But let this person go to a trained psychologist, and then the psychologist will find out everything that is lurking underneath, both in the sub as well as unconscious, and which is pulling him down. He will be surprised. He is not ready even to accept it. No tamasika person will accept, I am a tamasika person. I am the most marvelous person. That is what he thinks of himself, and he expects everybody also to be like that. So this 39th verse. Yadagrecha anubandecha sukham mohanam atmanaha nidra alasya pramata uttam tat tamasam udahurutam. But that happiness which deludes the soul at the beginning and even after its termination, and which springs from these following causes, sleep, sloth, and error. That happiness is declared to be of the nature of tamas. We are always talking about a person, because happiness doesn't have the problem. Problem is of the person who derives what type of happiness. And then this person, the tragedy of this tamasika person is, even while he is enjoying, he is in Brahmananda. He is swimming in the ocean of Brahmananda. That means he thinks, because he doesn't think, he thinks that this is the highest happiness anybody can derive. Why is everybody running here and there? Why can't everybody be like me? I see how happy I am. Not understanding that this type of happiness the fellow is deriving will very soon nature will whip him like animals are whipped, and then he will be shred into pieces practically. He is not thinking. So this thought came to me. Supposing there is a person, this kind of lazy person, and he is satisfied. He lives the life of the greatest sage. This tamasika person, ghora tamasika person, terribly tamasika person, TT person, he lives his life. You examine it, and it is, you will not find any difference between the behavior of an enlightened soul and this tamasika person. Why? Let it be cold, let it be hot, let it be happy, unhappy, let it be foul smell, he doesn't mind. Let whatever food come, even it is 3 days food, 10 days food, smelly food, and it is full of worms, etc., decomposing food, we have seen earlier. All this in the 17th, Aharastvapi Sarvasya Trivito Bhavati Bharata. So that tamasika food is of tamasika nature, and this fellow revels in it as if he is the greatest man. You insult him, it doesn't touch him at all. His emotions do not rise at all. His BP doesn't rise. He is so happy. And you kick him, he doesn't react. And you abuse him, he doesn't react. So, in so many ways, his life appears to be a perfect sage. What a marvelous thing it is. Only thing is, he doesn't understand. This condition will not last long. A wise man knows conditions change. This person is completely ignorant that momentarily he is happy, but things will not be like that. Then the amount of tortures he has to go through, he doesn't have the intelligence even to imagine those things. So let us analyze this one. Yet sukham, that is when the senses come into contact with the sense objects. Agre, in the beginning. Anubandhe, in the end. That means also in the middle. Sukham, and he obtains a peculiar kind of happiness, which is called tamasa sukham. And what is the nature of sukham? Remember, what is the nature of sattvika person sukham? Atma buddhi prasadajam. It awakens a person from this long dream, and it takes him to God. Whereas this person, it will put him to sleep. Mohanam, it completely covers him, mesmerizes him, deludes him, and gives him as much distance away. It is only symbolically, metaphorically we are talking, not really, from Atmanaha, from the Atman. And what is the type of happiness this fellow gets? 3 characteristics are there. Nidra, sleep, alasya, that is laziness, pramatha, that is carelessness. So sloth, there is an animal called sloth. And in Christian theology, one of the 7 gravest sins is called sloth. So this person's happiness springs from sleeping, slothfulness. Even when he is not asleep, he is half asleep. His waking state is half asleep. His dream state is half asleep. And deep sleep, of course, is asleep. And sloth and error. Error means, you just imagine a person who is driving, who is tired, he should not drive, and momentarily he goes to sleep. And that is called tamasika driving. And that there is accidents happen because of that. That happiness is declared to be of the nature of tamas. So this sukham is based upon that beautiful saying, ignorance is bliss. Not only that, this person looking at other, all the hurrying, worrying people. An American described the life of an American. An American described the life of an American. He said, what is the life of human being? Hurry, worry, bury. And typical, so much truth is there in that. This person says, why are these people hurrying? Why are they worrying? And he is buried in this ignorance is bliss philosophy. And he says, that whatever is treason, not only that, this leads them to a particular, what he thinks is a marvelous vision, marvelous philosophy called laziness, what is called fatalism. What we are fated, whatever is going to happen, is going to happen. Why, even if you do something, it is not going to change. So we will not do any changefulness. So that is, let us neglect. And these people, take advantage of this fatalism. And you know, there are beautiful shlokas describing this kind of people. And then he says, here is a beautiful Sanskrit, what is called Subhashita. Harinapi, Harenapi, Brahmanapi, Surairapi, Lalata Likhita Rekha, Parimarshtum, Nashakyate. Even Hari, Vishnu, Hara, Shiva, Brahma, or any other deity cannot wipe out the fate written on one's forehead. So a lazy fellow will be quoting this shloka. Why go on bothering? It is going to, whatever is going to happen, it's happened. And there is a lot of truth in it. We should not simply dismiss and say, even a sattvika person can also undergo this kind of fate. But only thing is, he will try to change his fate. He doesn't say it is fatalism. He says, karma, I have done karma. I am reaping the results of karma. Now, that was in the past. Now, I will take karma into my hands. And taking karma into my hands, instead of karma dictating me, I will dictate what I should do, how I should do, when I should do, to whom I should do, and with what attitude I should do, and how I should live this life. It is in my hands. That's what Swami Vivekananda says, that we are the architects of our own future. Whereas, there is another beautiful verse, and this is so beautifully put here. A beautiful verse again says, probably from the Hitopadesha, I am not sure, Kavya Shastra Vinodena Kalo Gacchati Dhimatam Vyasanena Cha Murkhanam Nidraya Kalahenava. These three types of people, Sattvika, Rajasika, and Tamasika person. How do they spend their time? And this is most marvelous wisdom. Observe a person, how a person spends his time. So there is a psychological saying that tell me how you spend your time, I will tell you who you are. And there is absolute truth in it. So what does this piece do? A wise person, dhimatam, for those who are very intelligent, sattvika persons, kalaha gacchati, they are masters of their time and they lead an active life, not a passive life, and for them time passes. In what? Kavya, Shastra, Vinodena, that they are in pursuit of higher sciences. It could be physical science, it could be music, it could be art, it could be religion, it could be history, something ennobling, something enriching their wisdom. Kavya means literature. Shastra means any type of authoritative textbook, but we will take it here, spiritual books. So, he will be deeply studying. Vinoda means the happiness a sattvika person, an intelligent person, a discriminating person derives in from his day-to-day life is either, if he is a worldly person, he wants to get the worldly best knowledge in science, in arts, etc. But if he has got some faith in spirituality, Shastra, he becomes the greatest happiness is derived from serious, what is called pursuit of, what some people call classics. But here, we are talking about spiritual books. But there are Rajasika people. How do they spend their time? Vyasanena cha murkhana. So, Vyasanena, Rajasika people. Vyasana, addicted to drinking, dancing, mindless music you can see, mindless art you can see. I cannot describe how an intelligent human being, how could he degrade himself so much? What you call the utter degenerating, disgusting things pass in the name of art, music, everything, etc. These are the Rajasika people. But the third, the lowest class of people, What do they do? Murkhana, fools, idiots, unintelligent people. What do they do? Nidraya kalahenava. Either they go on their whole life sleeping or kalahena. When they are awake, they go on quarreling with each other. This is a beautiful verse, and this verse itself can give us a lot of wisdom. So, what is this person doing? This tamasika person. So, does he get any happiness? Definitely. How do we know? Because no creature will pursue something which doesn't give him happiness. You just go on pricking a sleeping person, he will jump up and roars like a lion. He wants to smash the person who is disturbing his sleep. So, the sleep gives happiness, laziness gives happiness, and what is called carelessness gives happiness. Shankaracharya says, if this person has to do something today, he will not even do it in a few months' time. That is the nature of this tamoguna. So, murkhana, nidraya by sleep, kalahenava are unnecessarily quarreling. And we are most of us are belonging to this kind of tamoguna. Anybody who is born as a human being and doesn't strive to improve himself physically, intellectually, psychologically, morally, aesthetically, and such a person, of course spiritually, such a person belongs to this category. And therefore, so everything this person does, nidra brings in more tamoguna, and carelessness brings in more tamoguna, and of course, this person's knowledge itself takes him down and down. The only good thing is, there is a bottom line. And after that, there is no way to go for them down. But from that time onwards, again the evolution starts. A beautiful evolution is there. So, we have the Bhagavan Krishna had covered these manifestations of Sattvaguna, Rajoguna and Tamoguna in 7 topics. So, I hope you remember what are the 7 topics. First, Karma Phala Tyaga are also known as Sannyasa. First. Second, Jnana, knowledge. Third is karma, a type of activities. Fourth is karta, a type of doership, the attitude of the doership. Fifth is buddhi, the instrument of knowledge. And dhriti, the tremendous power of resolution. And as the result of all these 6, what seems to be sukham. So the journey seems from the lower to the highest. And what I found, you might change it also, but in this particular order. What is it? Karmas, we are in the highest annamaya kosha. Karmas must be intelligently performed. And through that, appropriate knowledge will come. And that appropriate knowledge will make us desire right karma, dharmic karma. And that too, it makes us do in a particular way, in a particular attitude, that this is my duty and I have to do it. And then that will purify the instrument of knowledge which is called buddhi. And as soon as buddhi understands properly, discriminative knowledge dawns and becomes stronger. His willpower correspondingly becomes strong. And as the result of all these things are involved in performance of every action and the karma phala in the form of sukham. If he is a sattvika person, all these are more manifest. If he is a rajasika person, he is a mixed. Therefore, his happiness is also mixed. If he is a tamasika person, it takes a person much down. And then the Lord is going to talk. He had already talked about these things. He is summarizing. Remember, 18th chapter is the summary of that. So, in the 14th chapter, Lord Krishna, what does he say? The entire material universe is born out of my maya or prakriti. And this prakriti is consisting of 3 gunas. Sattvam rajastamaiti gunaha prakriti sambhavaha nibadhanti mahabahu dehe dehinam avyayam. Maya is made up of the gunas. Therefore, all the products of maya will also be naturally, automatically be made up of the three gunas, and every guna binds, including sattva guna. But sattva guna will very soon understands what is that he is bound, and he will be struggling to get out of that. That is the speciality. Earlier also, the Divine Lord has said in the 7th chapter, Daivi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Prapadyante Mayam Etam Tarantite. That this Maya is my Maya. It is divine Maya. And it is consisting of three guna, sattva, rajas and tamas. And Duratyaya is almost, it is impossible to cross over and go directly to the Lord. It is acting like a inviolable curtain between Jivatma and Paramatma. But what is the way out? Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Those who take refuge in me, those who change their lifestyle, those who strive to please me in by doing what is should be done and by not doing what should not be done, such people, I will purify them, buddhi yogam tadamyaham. So the question now comes, if everything in this world, the whole creation is made up of these three gunas, then they should be crystal clearly demarked as sattva, rajas and tamas. But we see so many variations. The answer, short answer is, even though they are three gunas, their mix, admixture of these three in different percentages is what makes all the difference. So, creation consists not only of the living, but of the non-living, of the rock, of the table, of everything. And interestingly, in the modern age, in the West especially, the space pollution, then air pollution, then heat pollution, then water pollution, earth pollution, but according to Hinduism's Vedic teaching, Upanishadic teaching, everything is a devata, manifestation of God, sustaining, not only creating, but sustaining, energizing, giving them everything. They are the living gods. So, we have to worship. Everything is consisting, both living, non-living, of this Prakruti. Prakruti is another word for Maya. Maya is consisting of sattva, rajas and tamas. Therefore, there is no object in this world which is not consisting of this Prakruti. It is a beautiful subject. We will talk about it in our next class. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramartanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Tomorrow we will meet again, continue this most marvelous subject. Jai Ramakrishna.